It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the AIDS epidemic could be over by 2030, according to United Nations officials. We'll check out the efforts against AIDS here in Wisconsin and around the world.
First, as the 2016 presidential race gets underway, some within the Republican Party are trying to focus more attention on attracting voters in big cities, typically Democratic Party strongholds. Central Time producer Galen Druk is with us to tell us more.
Hey, Veronica. So cities have become increasingly Democratic since the 80s, and in recent elections, they've turned out Democratic voters like never before.
What do those numbers look like?
If you look at local-level politics, the country's 30 most populous cities, only 5 have Republican mayors. And then if you look at the last national election, Obama took all but 3 of those cities. Even big cities in solidly red states like Texas or Alabama and Louisiana all went blue.
And does Wisconsin fit that same pattern?
Okay, so Wisconsin is actually one of the best examples of the rural-urban political divide in the country. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Milwaukee area has grown more politically segregated with almost every election since the Nixon administration. In the 2012 election, President Obama got 67% of the vote in Milwaukee County and just 32% of the vote in the surrounding counties. That makes for the biggest gap between urban and suburban counties in any top 50 metro area other than New Orleans.
So with that backdrop, what are Republicans looking to do to get more votes for the GOP in big cities and urban areas?
Well, I recently spoke to Washington, D.C. Republican National Committee woman Jill Homan. She heads an organization called City GOP that's trying to turn cities red. And actually, the party has done it before. Cities like Philadelphia and Chicago used to have solid Republican operations. I asked her how cities came to be Democratic strongholds in the first place.
A lot of folks don't realize as recently as 1999, if you took the top 12 largest cities, 6 of them, half of them, were led by Republican mayors and the other half by Democrat. And what's happened over time is that the party, Republican Party in cities has unfortunately reduced in number, thereby creating a void in a lot of city Republican parties, but I also see that as being an opportunity to create some small inroads which potentially could have statewide implications.
So what's at stake here if Republicans can't gain ground in American cities?
Well, I'm actually more optimistic than the can't gain ground because I think a small change in a city, meaning picking up a few votes here and there, has both statewide and national implications. And let me just give you an example. When you take, say, the state of Illinois and you look at Cook County, Bruce Rauner, who won, did better than his predecessor candidate 4 years ago, and he did better in Cook County. And so a marginal improvement in Cook County is a great predictor of what happens in the state of Illinois for statewide races.
Has there been concern expressed within the party about this trend? I mean, so if you look at 2012, for example, I mean, the only major cities that went to Republicans were Phoenix, Oklahoma City, Fort Worth, and Salt Lake City, while many large cities in solidly red states went to Obama. And I mean, especially probably concerning would be this in swing states like Florida and Ohio. So is there any concern within the party about that trend?
Let me just first kind of build on what you're talking about in terms of trend. American University has a program that looks at this data and typologies of how to kind of classify the United States, if you will, by demographics. And big cities constitute about 73 million people. So a subset of those people are the voters, and they voted for Obama by over 30 points. What's happened is this conversation about cities is not just limited to the city border, and so you have the core suburbs around the cities have now urbanized to a point that they're behaving like the city, and so those total about 66 million people, and a subset of those voted for Obama by more than 16 points. So taken together, that's 140 million people, of which a percentage votes, and that's 44% of the population. And let's say they vote at the same rate. So you have potentially 44% of the electorate voting for Obama by more than 15 points. And therein lies the issue. But to your point, one of the things, amongst the many things that the National Party is doing is working on first identifying voters, likely voters, and also doing a lot of voter registration efforts, but also a huge, huge effort around engagement. So there are several different divisions within the Republican National Committee that are focused. They wake up every day thinking about how can they engage with African-American, Hispanic, Asian Pacific Islander voters, residents of these cities, because what we've found in terms of a model of running elections where we'll have, you know, say someone from Washington, D.C. parachute into Wisconsin to try to get out the vote in the last 3 months of elections, you know, that model we've found is flawed. And what we've implemented and what the RNC has implemented and the Wisconsin GOP and state parties is a long-term approach looking at engagement, looking at building relationships in cities, in with folks in communities of color so that we have these longer-term relationships and are able to start to make inroads. Because I think it's not just about the campaign and the tactics, which is really interesting and fun to talk about, but I think we also bring policies to bear, and I think we have the best policies to help uplift communities, especially those who are, you know, either low income or communities that are changing. A lot of these cities are rapidly changing, and we think we bring some great policies to bear on that.
Is there something inherently liberal about, I know you'll disagree with this, but I think that some might suggest that there's something inherently liberal about living in a modern city. For example, from a fiscal point of view, you know, every day you are confronted with a reliance on strong government services, ranging from transportation or trash to police. Then on a social level, you're exposed to all different kinds of people and behaviors. Meanwhile, maybe in more rural areas, you can rely more on yourself, drive yourself around, run into fewer people, you know, it's less dense. I mean, is there anything to that idea?
Well, I think that's a question of really causation or correlation or whether there's any pattern here. And I think what I would just say from what I observed is while I agree with you, I think there are people are engaged with government perhaps a little bit more. I also think, you know, the idea of individual rights, you know, I agree with individual rights, but, you know, I live in a townhouse, and where my right begins and your right, my right ends and your right begins, you know, we're kind of a little closer together in a city. And so there's kind of this opting in of people who decide to live in a city in a condo and, you know, in a packed community, that there's a lot more interaction and the city has to, I think, deal perhaps at a higher level of government services. But I think fundamentally the Republican Party is not opposed to that. I think it's not that the Republican Party is opposed to government. Rather, it's the Republican Party favors smart government and that the government is there to work for the people and not the other way around. And so that's why I think we have fantastic programs that we're in favor of and policies such as school choice, which really gives parents the ability to pick the right school for their child and other such programs. And that's when I do a lot of grassroots work, regardless of what party folks are in. Those are the concerns that I'm hearing is, you know, the quality of education for their child and also, their job and whether they have a job or not, or getting to their job is oftentimes a problem.
And from a social perspective, cities have long been perceived as more inviting for people from outside of mainstream American life, like immigrants or gay people. So what do you think the Republican Party has to offer cities when it comes to those kinds of social issues?
Well, I think that what I believe, and a lot of my colleagues in the party believe in, is the big tent Republican Party. And I have friends who represent areas that are much, much more, you know, rural. And, you know, and D.C. happens to be the only city that's a member to the RNC. And so we have a special kind of status as being a city, but also having representatives to the RNC. And I joke a little bit with my friends from rural area where, you know, you might be on one side of the tent and I might be on the other side of the tent, but in order to be a successful national party, there needs to be room for both of us. And I appreciate what my friends in rural areas are trying to do because their policy issues, say, around agriculture and sustainable farming or what have you, are not the top concerns at all when I talk with residents who are struggling to find a job. But at the same time, I think our party, being a party that strongly views in individual responsibility and also about empowering people and getting government out of the way so people can succeed, I think all of that fundamentally creates a party where there's enough room for all of us.
Do you think that in approaching cities as new places to spend more time campaigning, that Republicans in some ways come from a place where they've been perceived as almost having animosity towards those cities? Here's an example from Wisconsin. So Governor Walker, in part, campaigned in 2010 on killing a high-speed railroad between Madison and Milwaukee that would ultimately connect the upper Midwest from Minnesota to Chicago. And so in doing that, he played on themes of the sort of urban-rural divide, sort of pitting the two against each other, you know, saying that, you know, it would spend state money on city things that don't affect other Wisconsinites. Do you think that Republicans should shift away from that kind of rhetoric or even sort of presenting it as a dichotomy?
Well, I think my comments are going to be at a higher level than that specific issue. But I've been asked this question about, say, other governors who've changed plans that may have been implemented by past administrations. And I think there's a fundamental nature for Republicans to want to be great financial stewards to the resources of the taxpayer. And so what I've seen in the D.C. area is just a wanting to understand how these oftentimes public-private partnerships or how these massive transit programs are being implemented. And we've written on it at City GOP about the implementation of massive transit programs when they're led by Republican administrations and contrasting that with major programs by several Democratic administrations. And you know, you can think through in D.C. we have a trolley that is supposed to connect parts of the city, and it's been many, many years and tens of millions of dollars and more that's been spent, and we have yet to have a trolley being implemented. And so I think broadly from a policy standpoint, we need good transportation options. And when I say transportation, I mean all of the above, rail, bus, and here we have bike share, car share, because ultimately, you know, you need to connect people.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for making time for us today.
Thank you for your time.
That was producer Galen Druk speaking with Jill Homan, Republican National Committee Woman for Washington, D.C., and founder of City GOP. As the 2016 presidential race kicks off, City GOP is trying to attract more Republican voters in the country's big cities.